Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you love defense, well, last night was your game. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Final score, Philadelphia 10, Green Bay 7. And while we'll get into Nick Sirianni's questionable decision-making at the end of the game, didn't cost them,
yeah.
But the process on that was a little funky. The Packers are now really left to pick up the pieces here, Pearl, and they've lost two games in a row at Lambeau.
Yeah.
Last week it was the Carolina Panthers, stunning upset. They were, I think, a 8-9 point favorite in that game at least. And then obviously this week it's an elite team in Philadelphia who is coming off their bye, so a well-rested team, and it just looked really, really bad. Jordan Love was under duress all night long. Wide receivers couldn't get open. Windy night, couldn't even get the run game going. It was just like, you think in these slog games that you need your coach and your quarterback to really differentiate you, right? And it just felt like on both fronts, Green Bay could not find an angle.
Yeah, we were worried coming to this game about the offense without tight end Tucker Kraft, who'd been their best player all season, weapon-wise. There's a disconnect right now with Matt LaFleur as a head coach and this offense. For some reason, there are drives where Jordan Love looks great. There are many drives where Jordan Love is missing guys. Last night, even LaFleur, who's Mr. Nice Guy, got frustrated with Jordan Love because he missed a wide-open Christian Watson. There's just something is off. There, whatever, I don't know if it's a play calling, I don't know if it's a talent level, whatever, it's not all working together, and they better turn around fast, because if they don't make the playoffs, I think Matt LaFleur is in massive, massive trouble there. I think he's already on the hot seat, and if 5-3-1, if this goes south even further, it's going to be bad.
Oh, not making the playoffs would be unconscionable, considering the massive Michael Parsons trade that they made, considering this is Jordan Love, like, walking into his opportunity.
$50 million plus quarterback.
Oh, yeah, getting paid. And I think there's a couple things. I do think that the play calling has been a little sus, as the kids say, and I think there's a little to be desired there. And
I don't think the kids say that anymore, but please go ahead.
They moved on. Okay.
Yeah. By the time we know it, they've moved on.
All right. I'll still say it for six more months. And then after that, I think this wide receiver core is very banged up. You know, Reed has been hurt. There was no Matthew Golden last night. You already mentioned Tucker Kraft, the pass catching tight end. And they also on the broadcast pointed out what Tucker Kraft did in the run game as far as blocking. So they've lost some major pieces. And I think the other guys just might not be as good as we thought. Like, maybe they are just a tad bit overrated. I don't know about Christian Watson necessarily, but Romeo Doubs can't stay healthy.
He's good. Actually, Doubs is really good.
They're good when they're out there, though. He even left the game last night and was not there for the fourth quarter, which is where this game was ultimately decided.
Yeah, there were some big drops by the receivers. Love, I think, had a better game than people realized because he threw some darts 20 yards downfield into tight coverage. And by the way, this was a tough assignment. One thing, losing to Carolina was one thing. The Eagles defense was on it last night.
They were so good.
When Jalen Carter's on the field, That is a good defense. But sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and then, you know, obviously they really love what they have with Jalen Phillips. And the fact of the matter is that at one point in the game, Lane Johnson, the all-world, all-pro...
Future Hall of Fame right tackle.
Of course, like the future everything tackle left the game, and you think that's where you could maybe even take advantage. And to be honest, the Packers defense did their job and then some. They did their job last week.
Their defense is awesome. They have so many good players. Quay Walker is really fun to watch. Edrin Cooper is a star. Micah Parsons is still as fast as ever. I don't know why. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not surprised they're not letting up a lot of points. You know, they couldn't really get the turnover that led to points last night. That was one thing I guess they're lacking. Like, I think it...
Takeaways? I don't know. They forced a fumble on Jalen Hurts.
Like, but in their own red zone. But generally, like, I think they're... The way this offense is playing, they're going to have to be the 2000 Ravens. They're going to have to do the scoring here.
Which is crazy because that 2000 Ravens team had Trent Dilfer at the quarterback who was not making $55 million. Yeah. And this is a different story.
No, I mean, the offense is broken. I am not totally giving up on them, by the way, because if you look at their schedule, I know... They have the Bears coming up, and they play the Lions tough. I think they have a chance to turn around. Listen, they'll go against an interim coach with the Giants this week, Mike Kafka, former Eagles quarterback. And then they have Minnesota. I don't know about them. I think there's a chance to turn it around. Because last year, did we give up on them last year? And then all of a sudden, they started to sneak in a bunch of wins at the end of the year, and Jordan Love turned his season around after the knee injury. I'm not totally giving up on them, by the way. I think they need to open it up. I keep saying this. You're right, the receivers aren't great, but just at least take your shot.
Well, the other part, too, is the weather is going to start getting worse. So, you know, the idea about opening it up now, you got to figure out and pick your spots. Plus, the metrics will tell you that they are getting a lot of yards through the air. It's just not what you want the last 2 weeks. Okay, let's hear from Matt LaFleur. So he was asked after the game about whether he's worried about his job security.
I'll leave that for everybody else to decide. I'll just focus on the day-to-day and trying to do... I feel like you're always coaching for everything in this league. You know, that's just my mindset. It's always been that way.
Okay, here's more from Matt LaFleur, who obviously is an offensive-minded head coach, offering some details on the offense's inconsistency and says it starts with him.
When you look at it, like I mentioned, just a lot of those situational ball, we just weren't clean. And had, whether it was penalties, there was a drop there on a fourth down. You know, I'll always look at myself first and foremost. Are we putting the guys in the right place?
Yeah, I look at myself, but also catch the ball. The illegal formations, there were two of them that happened in this game. One wiped out a 22-yard gain from Christian Watson. That was a big moment in the game. I mean, it was really hard for either of these teams to get just in the red zone, let alone these like actual legit scoring opportunities. And that Devontae Smith touchdown, the only touchdown in the game, didn't even happen in the red zone. It was a 36-yard touchdown pass. And then on a 4th-and-1, I understood why LaFleur wanted to put it in Josh Jacobs' hands. But Pearl, to your point, Philadelphia was ready for it. They were all over it. They punched the ball out, and it was an illegal formation anyway. It was just all bad.
Yeah, they were definitely, and maybe that's because of losing Jenkins, but the offense has been janky all, you know, even, you're right, they do have some explosive yards, but you look about how they did that. It was against, remember they had the 40-40 shootout with Dallas. That game was bananas. They should have won that game, and they played Cincinnati. I think it's going south. The Carolina game was so depressing. I thought they would, I really thought, you know, they were favored by 1.5 last night. I thought they were going to win. Even early on when the Eagles failed to capitalize on a couple offensive opportunities, I'm like, okay, it's a home game. Green Bay is super desperate because they're in a real race. The Eagles aren't playing for anything.
No one else in the division has an even above 500 record.
Right. They're waltzing to the NFC East crown where the Packers are playing for everything. I thought desperate at home, you know, big, big Monday night crowd. Yeah, that was just a nothing burger. So that's why I am actually really buying into this Matt LaFleur hot seat.
Okay, so this is the weird, if a Twitter poll can be any indication of where the public is at, kind of feels like people are in conflict. And let me tell you what I mean by that. We put out one question that says, will the Packers win a Super Bowl with Matt LaFleur? Pearl, 91% say no. Then we put out a poll that said, will Matt LaFleur be the head coach of the Packers next season? 64% say yes.
Right.
So he's going to be around next year, but you're not going to win a Super Bowl with him. Then what are we in this for? You know, well, this is not a team that's like in a rebuild. This is a team that's in their window.
Yeah, but you're not going to fire everybody who doesn't make a Super Bowl. I mean, that's kind of unfair.
Well, I mean, you just said you can understand why he's on the hot seat.
No, I can understand. Well, listen, he has to make the playoffs, that's for sure. But I would answer that poll yes. I mean,
which one?
I mean, I think that it's more likely than not that he gets to the playoffs this year and keeps his job. I mean, he's got an incredible regular season record. The question is, if you think that they have to make the Super Bowl, I think it's too soon. It's not like the Marty Schottenheimer situation where Marty was 14-2 and they fired him. But it'd been years and years and years. Matt LaFleur is in year six, and he's only in year, what is this, three of Jordan Love starting? And it's been good. I mean, I can't believe they made the playoffs last year. I don't think we're giving him enough credit.
Okay, I mean, I mean, think you many, and I see this differently.
They won a bunch of games with Malik Willis last year.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty good... Listen, he's an offensive coach. I thought Malik Willis, I was really surprised, actually, that he looked even competent out there considering what it looked like in Tennessee. But here's the other question. For as much as I'm, like, not that sold on LaFleur, answering this question is very hard. And the question is, who would you replace him with? You know, and I asked the same question about... You know, Green Bay or Buffalo, you know, these teams where you're knocking on the door, and Buffalo's even further along, I would say, than Green Bay. You're knocking on the door and you're winning enough games in the regular season to stay competitive, but you can't beat some of your rivals or whatever. What do you do there? Who do you actually replace this person with when the bar is so, so, so high?
Well, I mean, just get the hot young offensive coordinator, right?
Yeah, but see, there's always a little bit of a risk in that because now you're handing over like a ready-made situation and one that is, you know, you're asking now an undefined and untested person to now get this team over the top. Like, yeah, if you think if they fired Matt LaFleur, they would just replace him with
what if they get,
you know, the guy from Tampa? I don't know if you
I mean, what if he's Dave Canales? What if he's Nick Sirianni? I mean...
Well, Dave Canales hasn't won Jack, so I don't
know.
Well,
I mean, yeah, but he's
actually... They just lost to the Saints at home. Like, this is an inconsistent operation.
Pretty good. What if he's Shane Steichen?
Shane hasn't... I mean, he didn't win in Philly. You guys came really close, and... Now he's in Indianapolis, and we'll see what happens. Are they really what the record says they are?
I don't know. I mean, he's got the Colts at 8-2. I think he's pretty darn good. I mean, listen, I'm not a retread guy. I think that you'd be better off trying to find the next one, especially if Green Bay, because you have the potential to be a really special team. You know, listen, you have to start somewhere. Sean McVay had to get hired somewhere. Kyle Shanahan had to get his first job. But you have to find somebody here. By the way, I actually think...
Sean McVay was in the Super Bowl by like year three.
Right. I'm saying you got to find your next Sean McVay.
They thought they had that with Matt LaFleur.
Yeah. Well, hasn't been there yet.
All right. So now reload it. Okay.
By the way, I'm very curious where Brian Flores goes. That would be a defense that he'd be terrifying with. The blitz with that team, that'd be really cool.
But the defense isn't the problem. See, yeah. Like, that's my thing. So we've been talking a little about, you know, coaches who could be stepping into bigger roles, especially off the news yesterday that Brian Daboll was fired in New York. And Brian Flores' name has come up quite a bit. Obviously, he's now the defensive coordinator of Minnesota. Listen, Miami, where he coached before, is obviously not a well-run organization. Clearly, the Dolphins have lots of issues. They haven't won a playoff game since 2000. There's so much there that's bad. But his specific issue in Miami, Pearl, was that he basically destroyed the confidence of Tua Tagovailoa. Tua, who had played for a really hard-ass coach in Nick Saban. Like, I think it's kind of... It'd be hard to rattle this dude. And it feels like Brian Flores... like crushed the kid to a point where they had to hire Mike McDaniel, who is like a glorified cheerleader, right? And had to make the offense so easy for them and all of that. Like, I'm not sure if Brian Flores has shed that, whether it's a stigma or whether it's a, you know, reputation or what have you, because he comes from this Belichick tree that is just so hard on these guys. And what he did to Tua, like, that's not nothing. So if I'm the next head coach and I have a Jackson Dart or another young guy, do I want Brian Flores? Can I trust that he's going to take care of my quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, listen, probably not. The thing is, I think everyone's going to want an offensive coordinator. I understand that Mike McDonald's doing really well in Seattle, but I think that part of that is because their offense is so shiny. I don't think the Mike McDonald Baltimore Ravens formula is really happening right now. Their defense is not... It was great on against Arizona, but their defense is not winning games for them. It's been offense. So I think that everyone's going to go offense this year. I think if there's seven coaches opening, I think five will be offense. Now, Vrabel last year has done great, and he's a defensive guy, obviously, But he was so tied to New England that that was obvious.
Well, and let's also call it what it is. Like, Josh McDaniels is a terrible head coach and a fantastic offensive coordinator. And I think he's done really good things for Drake May. Yeah. He's like a punchline when it comes to head coaches. But as an offensive coordinator in New England, he's tops.
Yeah, I mean, there's a, and also the defensive, even with Vrabel doing well, and obviously you got Sean McDermott wins a lot, but you got Raheem Morris has come up short in Atlanta. I think Dan Quinn is now falling apart in Washington. Jonathan Gannon is probably, I think he's, well, we'll get to that later. I think he might lose his job in Arizona. Defensive guys haven't done great either. I think you have to aim high. You have to try and find somebody who's your Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan. That's what I would do.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Would love to hear from the Packer fans. Does Matt LaFleur deserve to be on the hot seat? All right, we're going to take a quick break. We have college to get to. Do you think we would forget about the BMOC? The big moment on campus, the big man on campus. This is all timer. It's the beef I didn't even know existed or that I needed in my life. Two head coaches going at it. We'll go back to college in just a moment. Plus, again, you can weigh in, and we'll get to Nick Sirianni's terrible decision at the end of the game, which did not cost his team. Passing the ball on a 4th and 6 with 33 seconds left at your opponent's 35 to try to ice the game. Spoiler, it didn't. Pass falls incomplete, hands the ball back to Jordan Love, and they at least attempted a game-tying field goal that went way, way, way wide to the left. But Sirianni had to answer for that boneheaded decision, even though his team won the game. We'll get to that. So much to do. So glad you're with us. It is the Maggie and Perloff Show. We'd also like to say a happy Veterans Day to everyone out there, and thank you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Thank you for your service. Hey!
You never know what you'll see during the college football weekend. Here is Maggie and Perloff's big moment on campus.
All right, it's Tuesday. There was a lot that happened in the college football weekend that we didn't get to break down yesterday. But what was the big moment on campus this week, Maggie?
All right, well, first we've got to look back to last week's big moment on campus, and that was Kirk Herbstreit, not a fan of the Oklahoma kicker and his short shorts.
Let the Volunteers know he's got his short shorts on. I guess that's no longer frowned upon in the sport.
Yeah, I guess not. It is with me, but
those are the shortest I've ever seen on a football field.
Should be right? No, that should be a penalty. Just dressing like that should be a penalty. What the hell is it?
Man, imagine we give penalties to people in real life for the stuff they wear.
Well, that actually is a penalty because you have to touch your knees, right?
Oh, a uniform violation.
Yeah. I don't know if you give a penalty. You definitely would get something for that. I think they said that you were supposed to throw a flag on that. Like, he's not allowed to do that. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the refs are into it. I have no idea. Anywho, that was last week's big moment on campus. This week, we bring you the coaching beef that I didn't know existed and that I didn't know I needed in my life. Here is ESPN's Bob Wischusen pointing out that Syracuse head coach Fran Brown and Miami head coach Mario Cristobal had to be separated mid-game by officials.
Far side of the field, but watch Mario Cristobal and Fran Brown. They're going back and forth, and the officials almost had to stand in between both to stop them from jawing at each other. Not sure what that was about.
All right, well, Fran Brown apparently wanted the smoke with everybody associated with the Hurricanes. Here he is warning Michael Irving about something, and we've bleeped this, so don't worry.
How you doing? All due respect. I love how you play. Don't get used to this. I got you, coach. I got you, coach. I appreciate you, coach. I appreciate your intensity, coach. That's good. That's what it takes. Good job, man. Good job.
Good job cursing me out. All right. After the game, and of course it was a Miami victory, 38-10, Mario Cristobal downplayed the beef with Fran Brown.
It's just competitive, you know. I think people overflow stuff, man, you know, so it's football, man. You know what I mean? Play ball, let the players play, and that's about it.
That was courtesy of the Joe Rose Show. More from Cristobal responding to Fran Brown said that Miami was on the verge of quitting in this game that they won by multiple scores.
The comment, I guess he said on TV, we had Miami on the brink of quitting at half before you guys scored a couple of touchdowns. And I know everything gets back to you. You just kind of let that stuff go, and that's part of everybody being competitive.
I don't, the talk game is cheap, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't look like a quitting bunch at 38-3.
Pearl, the coaching beef we didn't know we needed.
Yeah.
Fran Brown v. Mario Cristobal. Although, I don't know if Fran Brown is long for the ACC. I don't know what's going to happen. Syracuse has won 3 games this year, but they're on their third quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you saw it because your Bills. It was super hot in Miami this weekend. I think the humidity got everybody cranky. That's my best explanation for why this was going on. I told EJ that Fran Brown gave the sweatiest in-game coaching interview I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm like, was that dude playing cornerback? Why is he sweating from top to bottom? I'm so sorry to say this because I know I was born there and I know Syracuse football is so irrelevant. I mean, that's like punching down for Mario Cristobal.
Well, Syracuse beat Miami last year in the last game of the regular season.
That's
really
true.
Dashed their college football playoff hopes, you know, to a large extent, but it's obviously been a much different game. You know, Fran Brown should be used to this. He coached at Georgia, didn't he? He's got to be used to the heat. Anyway, that's your big moment on campus, the beef between Fran Brown and Mario Cristobal.
There you go.
Yeah.
Fred Brown wanted to get into it with everybody at Miami. There's a video of him wanting to yell at a fan. Him and a fan are going back and forth when he's going into the tunnel. I don't know. Maybe Pearl's right. Maybe it was the heat. Very ornery.
Yeah,
he knocked us out of the playoff last year. Like, there was no and he spoke highly of the program last year. Like, I don't think that we came in, like, overlooking them at all. I don't know why he had this chip on his shoulder.
He needed a Snickers.
Best explanation I've heard. I was thinking maybe going back to the Georgia days, maybe he competed a lot for recruits.
Maybe Cristobal was at Alabama. That could be something.
Something
I could see that.
Like that.
He also was head coach at Oregon. Oregon recruits the South a bunch as well.
Right.
Well, as for the heat,
Leftover.
Though, he's been up in Central New York. His blood is probably not used to the heat anymore.
No,
you lose it when you're up in New York.
It. Which is funny, though, because I feel like the same is not true for the cold. I grew up in a super cold place, and I don't feel like I ever got used to it.
Mm.
I think you get used to the heat. I can never get used to the cold. And I grew up in a place that had the second most cloudy days in the country.
Well, there are people. I told you I went to college with a kid from Alaska. It'd be 22 degrees out, and he'd be wearing shorts and a t-shirt. He was like, this isn't cold. So there are people who do that. Not you.
Yeah, do you have to be from Alaska? Yeah. I'm basically from Alaska-like.
By the way, Pearl, I know you were dissing the Syracuse program, but I think you got love for Ron Brown. I mean, he's basically a Philly guy. He's from Camden. He went to Camden High School. So
Sixers fan like myself.
Now Perloff loves him.
Well, it's not Fran Brown. I think actually he's awesome. I really like him. But Syracuse football doesn't seem to be interested in being like a contender at any point. Have they ever, actually? I remember the Donovan McNabb year was the one brief flash in my life where I jumped, and Bogues, you'll laugh at this. I jumped on the Orangeman bandwagon in a big way, football wise, because I was born in Syracuse. I'm born into rooting for this football program, and they've given me basically nothing since Don McPherson. It's been bad.
I mean, to track Perloff's fandom, you know.
Well, college, you know, I'm very consistent.
It's like people trying to find serial killers. Yeah. Like, it's up on the board with all these strings kind of attaching to
your
one
basement.
Thing to the next.
Like, I saw a map of, like, Stanford's travel in the ACC this year. That's pretty much Perloff's
it's coast
fandom.
To coast. Yeah,
but
coast
what
to coast.
Do I legitimately get the big five college basketball schools in Philadelphia. There's no reason I can't root for them. Everybody roots for the big five.
But they're rivals with each other.
But if you didn't go to one, then you root for all of them.
Pearl, you
why were, would I who would I root for? Why would I root for Temple over Villanova?
Like, Pearl, you wear North Carolina basketball.
So my uncle was a dean of North Carolina law. Half my family's from Chapel Hill.
So
I grew up. My aunt Sibby sat me down and said, "You have to watch this game with me." I've been watching North Carolina basketball since I was five.
Must have been tough to watch North Carolina hoops. I mean,
sit down. Ed Cota and Shimon Williams are playing here.
Yeah. Oh my
god.
Must
have been such a difficult thing.
She was 86 years old, and we were at a massive holiday party, and she disappeared for 2 hours to watch North Carolina NC State, a meaningless ACC game.
Oh,
she was
crazy?
Hardcore.
That's a rivalry.
No, I mean, it was recently, though. Yeah, NC State, it's not Rodney Monroe.
Yeah, no, this was not Eric Montross.
Yeah.
Joe Forte's not walking through that.
No, it was the NC State side that hasn't really done much. Anyway, that's besides the point. This is what Aunt Sibby has done to me. I'll break down ACC hoops for an hour here. Yeah, I think I get North Carolina.
And Syracuse, because you were there once?
I was born there, dude.
Did you live there?
6 months, yeah.
Six
before
months.
Moving to Philly.
Basically, just...
What do you think? I just
tap
like...
tap into the blood. It's
like
orange.
My mom and dad were like, let's go. The healthcare is great in Syracuse. Let's drive by... pop out of Andrew and then go somewhere else. Yeah,
they're driving through town looking for another team to root for, and you're broken Syracuse.
All the amazing people from upstate New York. All right, Bogues, let's get to
Bogues, where were you born?
New York, Queens.
Yeah.
And I like all the teams from around here. I'm not mixing.
What did you think he was going to say? He was born in Wichita?
So wait, does he get St. John's even though, yeah, right?
No, he roots for Fordham.
Well, he's a Fordham guy, though.
I could theoretically. I was born into... My mom works at St. John's, so under your logic, I might as well be Rick Pitino's top assistant.
Why are Fordham and St. John's... They're not rivals.
I wish they were,
but they
are not.
You can have both teams.
Yeah. No, it just still feels like cheating.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I'm much more liberal on this topic.
That's not the word I'd use.
Yeah.
The fact that you wouldn't root for St. John's because you went to Fordham, that's giving too much credit to Fordham.
No, but I never rooted for St. John's to begin with.
So, really? As a kid, you didn't like get on that bandwagon?
No. You're barking up the wrong tree. The real genuine problem with Perloff's fandom is that you are diehard Philadelphia. You couldn't even help yourself. Had to wear the hat today.
Yeah.
Right? Had to wear the Eagles hat. Half your wardrobe is Philadelphia adjacent.
Yep.
But you love Dak Prescott.
I like individuals.
You love Shohei.
Love
you
players.
Love these guys who like directly stand in the way of your teams reaching the pinnacle. Maybe not Dak Prescott lately, but you know
I
mean?
Would say I love Dak Prescott, by the way. He's not really one of my guys, but like Jahmyr Gibbs, that's my guy.
Again.
But because Maggie, you love these people too, for example, because you've met them, right? Like, isn't that a big deal?
Listen, I would have told you Deshaun Watson should have run for office. We don't know these guys, and that's the extreme example. But we just don't know. I can admire them, what they do, because I can't do it. But
I see yesterday.
It's a difference.
Love a guy who's not on your team and then say, oh, well, that guy's a really good player. And also, like, when that team faces your team, not, like, still professing the love for the guy.
Yeah. Well, that's probably
the deal.
That's, like, the dilemma. What if you have a fantasy football playoff match coming down the wire and the wide receivers going against your team, fandom can be, I don't know, stretched a little bit.
Listen, as a Jets fan, I have totally been in the moments where I'm like, yep, I'm definitely going to need a nice 300 yards from Tom Brady today.
yeah, totally.
Listen, he's getting those 300 yards whether you're betting on him or not.
Exactly. Did you see, for example, and I'll bet you we're going to do this story at some point, Bogue said Alex Singleton announced he had testicular cancer.
That.
We interviewed him twice, and he was lovely.
Yeah,
so
he was.
I was really, and it was a great note he sent because I think he's like, I could have hid this, but I wanted to raise awareness. He's a Broncos linebacker. I've rooted for that guy since the interview. I know, but why not? These athletes are incredible. You can root for these guys individually, I think, without betraying your allegiance to your home team. I think. That's my opinion. And I know a lot of young kids root for players over teams. So it's not always the back of the jersey.
Oh, yeah, no,
it's not always the front of the jersey.
You can root for players. My bigger issue would be claiming, when you already have six Philadelphia college teams to root for, you're claiming Syracuse. You just summered there 1 year.
Well, by the way, what's the last time they won a title? Hakeem Warwick from Friend Central High School in Philadelphia. Once again, all comes back to Philly.
Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. They had an extra day to bounce back from last Sunday's home dud against the Panthers, and the Packers scored fewer points on Monday Night Football and lost their second in a row. Matt LaFleur's team is now third in the North, seventh, barely in the postseason in the NFC.
I think that's something that we're struggling with, finding the right solutions right now. So we got to take a long, hard look at that and come up with a better plan. Bottom line, you score 7 points in this league, you're probably not going to win many games.
The Eagles scored just 10 to win at Lambeau last night. Neither team scoring in the first half, the first time that has happened since the 2023 season. Jake Elliott kicked a short field goal in the third. Jalen Hurts threw a touchdown pass to Devonta Smith in the fourth to get Philly win number 7. Nick Sirianni, as only he could, proud of his team's toughness.
Shoot, these guys are here because they're ultra competitive and ultra talented. But, you know, I feel like we got a good football team, and you don't make it on this football team unless you got extra stuff too, right? And you don't, and we got guys with extra stuff in them.
Yeah, put that on a t-shirt.
Real way with words.
Extra stuff.
Didn't he say that when he got his introduced? He said, yeah, I'm the fertilizer. Yeah. This thing's gonna grow.
One.
That was always good. Mm. Listen, the bigger thing with Sirianni is just, what in the world are you thinking passing on 4th and 6 in that situation? Whoever called that play, like, is that a moment where actually, like, Jalen Hurts should just be like, I didn't hear it. Like, it didn't come through the headset.
Well, what would your pass play have been? Just out of curiosity.
That's it, honestly, been a punt.
Like, yeah. Throwing it down to AJ Brown is probably their highest percentage pass play, because Jalen Hurts doesn't do the one play he has is he rolls out and he hits Dallas Goedert, but I assume the Packers knew that was coming. So he can't do the intermediate passing game. That's
what I'm
saying.
He should have punted it.
Punt from 35.
Yeah,
he definitely should have punted. But I think a lot of coaches in that situation, because a punt in that situation always goes in the end zone. So you get down to the 20 and they're going to have a drive anyway.
You could also squib kick it, and you could try to run a few more moments off the clock there. Like, this is what I didn't understand, even going back before this, not to get mired in the details of just last night, but these end game situations for Nick Sirianni can sometimes be baffling to me. And he's not the only coach, but his seem incredibly weird. So, like, they have the ball, 5 minutes, 49 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter, holding on to a 10-7 lead. This is Philadelphia, okay? They start taking time off the clock. It's running, running, running. You get down to 2 minutes and 38 seconds, okay? They run the ball for 2 yards. So now it's 2nd and 8.
Yeah.
2:34. Incomplete pass on 3rd and 8. Then they take a 5-yard penalty, and now you're punting the ball away. On that side of the 2-minute warning, why are you not at least running the ball and forcing Green Bay to take their timeouts?
Because you want to get a first down to seal the game. You don't want Green Bay's offense to get the ball back.
That's fine. But why then also are you going to 2 pass plays to try to get the first down? Like, why would...
Because the running games, because you could see towards the end of the game, the run game was not going to get the first down. They had really... they weren't getting anywhere in a lot of those plays at the end.
I don't know. You got Saquon Barkley, for goodness sake. I'm not saying you have to run it through the teeth of the defensive line for Green Bay. I'm saying doing more things around the line of scrimmage, or these jet sweeps out, or Jalen Hurts running the ball, or anything else that doesn't put the ball in the air and stop the clock, which is what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of coaches now, I think the new trend is be aggressive to try and keep the ball out of the other team's hand at the end. Because it's really, it's, you know, you're giving the other team a chance to score with four downs. It's always tricky. If they, for example, if they had run the ball into the line twice there and had to punt on the other side of the two-minute warning, I think they would have gotten down the two-minute warning. The Packers would have had about a minute 30.
Oh, yeah. Okay, but here's the thing. You have the most unstoppable play in sports, so you don't even have to pick up 8 yards. All you got to do is pick up 6 and then run the dumbass push.
Well, the Packers have started moving up to the box. They weren't getting a 4th and 1 in that situation. You saw it on the next drive.
Like it's an odd, like it's
obvious. Well, you saw it on the next drive. They ran 3 plays and they got 3 yards.
But Saquon Barkley had also just ripped off a 41-yard, like all they did was just do a quick pass to him and he found this open lane for the biggest play of the game.
Right, that's a pass.
Well, again, but it was at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, no, Saquon wasn't.
It was a safe pass.
In the fourth quarter, Saquon wasn't a guarantee that it wouldn't be anything but a 1-yard gain. They're having trouble breaking through there.
You're twisting yourself in a pretzel to try to defend this stuff from Sirianni. Now, you have the win. You have the W, so you could say that it's all right, but the process to me is super
Well, a lot flawed. Of coaches are trying, like I've noticed this at the end of games, a lot of coaches are not just like, all right, we're going to run in 3 times and let them get 45 seconds to do something here. Like, that's a new thing. Like, you got to get that first down, try and squeeze the life out of the other team.
My thing was, even if you were concerned about hitting the ball out of bounds, you also could have just took the penalty, which is what coaches do all the time, which is, okay,
back yourself
36,
up.
Back yourself up 5 yards.
Oh, yeah, but no, back yourself. I'm talking about the other drive. But of course he should have punted there.
I think you just take the penalty, and then, you know, 41 yards is a lot different in terms of trying to punt. Yeah. It's a lot easier.
The Giants have also given me, at least, I now have a master's degree in how to lose a game, and this is what they did in Denver, where they threw a pass where they should have run, and it stopped the clock. It kept the timeout in Denver's pocket. So I would have, that second down play that you were about, to me, that's a mandatory run. And then third down, they called their second time, I think, at that point. Now it's third down.
They would
down.
Have one timeout left,
right.
And you could probably run it down to this 2-minute
one. Now, maybe at that third down is when I start to lean towards Perloff's idea of getting the first down to keep
third
the ball.
And third and 8 is a bad spot for Jalen Hurts.
But maybe it's not 3rd and 8. If you run it on 2nd and 8 and you get 4, now it's 3rd and manageable. And maybe you convert that and the game is over. But to throw on 2nd down and give them a free timeout almost burned them.
It's just kind of crazy because I feel like, you know, there were some big mistakes, but Sirianni, nothing happens because the team is so good because Howie Roseman put this team together and the roster is amazing. And he kept adding to it.
But it's low percentage play calls. That's really it. As you said, process. And in the playoffs, if this is your approach, the process will get you beat in the playoffs, even if you are the defending
champ. But
I don't
know, they're going to have the home field advantage. They might have the number 1 seed. You already beat the Rams, right? That happened this year, if I'm remembering. Yes.
But to Ray's point, he worries me, Sirianni, because he could become the next Pete Carroll. The guy where you could have a win in the bag, and he's going to do something galaxy-brained that's going to blow a game that they just have. That would be my concern as an Eagles fan. Not necessarily that you lost or won this game or you almost lost this game. It's like in the playoffs, there's a really close game. Last year, you blew out everybody. So you didn't have really a close game except for the Rams game, which they almost blew, by the way. So I would be like, if we're in a really close game, like, is that guy going to make a decision that's so out of left field that he can cost us another Super Bowl? We know that there's a Super Bowl roster.
Yeah.
They already got one, just like the Seahawks did. Is he Pete Carroll? He's going to do something to help his quarterback or help somebody else, and it's going to end up costing his team another championship because they should win more than one title.
He's too cute for his own good at this point.
Pearl rebuttal.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Sirianni's the man. I don't love the OC right now, and I think Nick is actually making a lot of those calls. The Will Shipley runs on 3rd and long is the number 1 problem right now. They don't seem to know when to go for long passes and when to run the ball. I agree. Yeah, all that is true, but listen, they do have Vic Fangio on that coaching staff, and he's awesome. So I wouldn't discount. I'm not sure that other teams have this massive coaching advantage. I mean, pretty much, listen, Andy Reid's the number 1 coach right now, and he's a terrible game manager. So I think that all this being said is, you know, At the end of the day, do I have less faith that the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl because of Nick Sirianni? No, I don't for some reason. And based on the fact that he almost beat the Chiefs 3 years ago and he did beat the Chiefs last year, I don't feel like Nick Sirianni is going to be the problem. I don't know why that is. Blind faith.
Quick from the NBA. This, not efficient. Cade Cunningham scored a career-high 46 last night on how many shots, gang?
45.
45 shots to score 46. Wow. He did throw in 12 boards, 11 assists, and 5 steals, creating the first such stat line since the 73-74 season when the NBA began tracking steals and blocks. All of this in a Pistons win, 137-135 in overtime over the Wizards.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. This had to be an overtime game. You're not getting how many shots? 45 shots up in regulation?
He also had 18 free throw attempts. So he was, I mean, it's bizarre. He's not really he's not a nut like that where he's just shooting all the time.
Imagine being his teammate. I mean, I know he's really good, so obviously you expect that he's going to have the ball in his
hand. Thanks, Kate Cunningham, for bailing us out again.
Yeah, I guess I'll just stand over here in the corner and let you do whatever you do.
This is like the Will Chamberlain 100-point game.
That's a Sandler joke.
Yeah, that you always bring up.
Yeah,
Will, my family's here.
Yeah, my family's here. Will, throw me the ball. Hey, I'm wide open.
888-710-4ISN.
By the way, if I'm CJ McCollum, I am annoyed. I scored 42 points on only 25 shots, and I'm not the high man because the other guy on the other team took 45 shots. Come on, I had the best game of the season. I'm trying to get out of Washington.
Yeah, but didn't he blow a layup and then that could have extended the game?
Yeah. Whoops. And he's got that going for him, too. You go to the ESPN thing, they show the leaders. You don't even see that CJ McCollum had 42 because Cade was like, I'm taking 50 shots tonight.
An ultimate hold my beer situation. Okay, lots more to do, folks. Thank you. Coming up, we will get to the new detail that's coming out after yet another pro sports gambling scandal. This one you're going to want to listen to.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right, we'll get back to Monday Night Football in a moment. Barn burner, 10-7. Final score, Philadelphia Eagles get their 7th win of the season. The Packers have now lost 2 in a row at Lambeau, which is pretty crazy for this recent Packers run. But Pearl, we never got to it yesterday. It was the news that broke over the weekend. Now, we knew that Emmanuel Clase and Jose Ortiz had been in trouble for suspected messing with their pitches, right?
Yeah.
And that there was some unusual gambling activity related to some very obvious balls that they threw. When I not just say, like, throw the ball, I mean, like, just a bit outside, like really outside. And there was unusual gambling activity. So yada, yada, yada. They got indicted. And at least one has been arrested so far.
So, yeah. I mean, they were already kicked out of baseball, right, in July.
Well, now it's going to be
kicked
out of baseball. And now they're looking at like 20 years, which is basically the same kind of charges that the guys in the basketball scandal are being looked at. Now, here's the one thing we don't have answers to yet, or I have not seen the answer yet, which is the Terry Rozier. Like, we kind of understand what he got involved in. You know, these guys are the same type of thing. Like, Emmanuel Clase was making $12.5 million. He stood to make another $6.5 million this season. These are not the guys at the end of the bench who are making $175,000 and just hoping to stick around. And I'm not turning my nose up at $175,000. I'm just saying, when you make $12 million, or Terry Rozier was making $22 million, or what have you, like, unless it's just an addiction and you're addicted to the action, I mean, this was stuff that was like $5,000, $6,000. Like, it just was not meaningful money to their life.
Yeah, I think there's something funny about this in your brain. Like, it's just kind of cool to know that you could control this. I'm sure there's a huge rush.
But
I think
there were,
it's
like mob ties in the basketball
But why,
we don't have that in the baseball scandal.
Right, right.
At least
but
yet.
But everybody has guys around them who be like, hey, why don't you just throw a pitch for me? I'm sure they're asked all the time. I mean, it's just the thing about it, this is so easy to do. It has such a little impact on the game. I can't believe you can bet that much money on a pitch.
So that's like, the update.
It's so easy to do. It's like you're not really harming anything. That's what Ortiz probably said. And if a friend asked him, you know, or Class A said, if a friend asked him, he's like, you know, is it really that big a deal to go to 1-0?
Right.
No.
So that's what Michael Porter Jr. said that about his brother, Jonte Porter. He's like, listen, I'm not saying it's right, but if you can make your homies $10,000 on a night, wouldn't you do it? This, like, it's honorable or admirable. But I would say this, like you said, people probably ask them to do this all the time. If you're hanging out with people who are asking you to manipulate the pitches, then you're hanging out with the wrong crowd. Like, you're putting not just your career, now your freedom in jeopardy for, as you said, some single pitch like bets. And so the latest is that now sports books, it looks like they're going to start capping them at $200 is like all you'd be able to make off of a single pitch.
Yeah, it does feel like, by the way, you notice there's one common theme that we're running into: props.
Yep.
Like, they need to like get a system here where you can't get rich because it's so easy to throw a prop. You can't throw an NFL game. For example, say the Packers are 3-point favorites. There's no, even the quarterback will have trouble doing that. Maybe the quarterback can, but they get paid $50 million a year. Yeah, I do think that they have to monitor props. And, you know, once again, the sportsbooks are like, hey, we caught this thing.
Right, so they're going to tout it as a victory, right? And
Yes, I think a victory. They understand, I think, bigger picture, that they help create this atmosphere. But the fact that it's legal is better than illegal.
Right, because this unusual gambling activity is going to get flagged in 1 second. And that's what it seems to get flagged. Now, it's funny you say, like, a player can't rig a football game, although if you polled like 50% of people on their couch, they probably think the refs have it in the bag for one team or the other. But obviously, that's not what we're talking about. Yeah, I think the idea about this is the growing pain. This is probably the best case scenario for professional sports and college. This is the growing pain that we're still through, and these kind of like gets worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
Because like, how many guys need to get caught? And now we're going to probably see guys go to jail. I mean, jail. Like, not Chauncey Billups probably, but like, what if Terry Rozier goes to prison?
Mm-hmm.
You would think that has to be the ultimate deterrent. Now, again, if people are addicted, now you're talking about different things, and can you help yourself, compulsive gambler, stuff like that. But for your average dude who's just trying to help out his friends to cash in on a parlay, not worth your freedom.
I mean, listen, you say they're making all this money, but you watch all those documentaries about how sometimes famous people blow their money.
Sure.
It happens. Everybody's asking you for something. You're a young man. Listen, I didn't know what the heck I was doing in my 20s.
Sure.
You're vulnerable to all sorts of crazy things.
Yeah, usually it's like bad business investments, people stealing from you, and then getting divorced.
Yeah, all those things. And taxes are never fun either, because you can say whatever you want. Let's see, Class A's in Ohio. I don't even know what the rate is. But generally, yeah, that's the thing. You don't get the money that you think you're going to get. And as a former freelancer, that always messed with me too. So Terry Rozier's tax lien, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. It's tough to do all this, especially if you're a young person. And, you know, a guy like, I would assume these athletes are so focused on being better at athletics that they let all this crap happen around this. And listen, it's not just the middle players. There was a massive star who was involved in a huge gambling scandal named Shohei Ohtani too. So like, crap happens all around you, Maggie. It might be your translator. It might be your best friend growing up. Like, there are people who will do these things.
It could be your translator. Everybody.
Can we talk about the plague of translators pretending to be pitcher, hitter, superstars? Everywhere I look, the same narrative is happening again.
Yeah. It is a tale as old as time.
Listen.
Your translator screws you over.
Come over from Japan. Your translator is imitating your voice to place bets on women's soccer. How do they not see this coming?
It's so obvious. It's right there in front of you. Yeah, you joke around and I'm laughing at it, but I hope it gets worse before, like, I hope this is just the bad dark before it's dawn and that these athletes realize what they're doing. Because, by the way, you know, the latest people who are getting a lot of money in their pocket is high school and these super young college athletes. And talk about not understanding what you are and what you're doing. So easy to take advantage of them.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.